Well, now I can't help but be a disappointment. That was pretty good. That touched my heart. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. I guess I could just preach the whole chapter of Ecclesiastes 3, or the whole book. But we're just going to have to limit it to just verse 14. And see if you can get the same thing out of it that I get out of it. Ecclesiastes 3:14 says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before Him. Basically, I want to talk about why we ought to feel wonder about God, to truly be amazed by God. Also, why we ought to be humble, why we ought to be afraid of God. And three, why we ought to feel special, because you are special. And this verse points it out. Now, I don't know, the word Solomon doesn't happen in the book of Ecclesiastes, but several things that he says in the book of Ecclesiastes are parallel to what he also says in Proverbs and the Song of Solomon. So it's pretty clear that Ecclesiastes, the preacher in Jerusalem, is talking about Solomon. And Solomon has this little tidbit of wisdom here. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before Him. Have you considered what God does? Whatever God does, it's going to be forever. Solomon is impressed with what God has done. Are you impressed with what God has done? I'm pretty amazed about what God has done. Now, I realize there are some people who think that they're being reasonable. They might even claim to be rational, consider themselves to be rational, and yet they don't think God did it. They are seriously right now contemplating the theory. They consider it a scientific theory. They are right now considering the scientific theory of parallel universes. Hey, folks, that's not science. It's not even close to science. The reason why they are considering the concept of parallel universes is because they have no other answers. They don't know what caused this to happen. They have no way of understanding why this universe happened the way it is. And everything they know points to a creator. Hey, I'm not exaggerating here. Everything they see, everything they know, every scientific fact so far discovered points to a creator. All of it does. And I'm telling you, a second grader knew it when he was in second grade. They already knew it. And you have the intuition also. You know it. One time I was up at the Guadalupe River, and this was a place where the Indians used to camp there, and they'd get all these flint stones there. They had a bunch of stones on the river, round stones, whatever, and they would camp there and sit and chip stones and make arrowheads. And they were telling me this, and it was Ricky Stewart was telling me this, and he says, yeah, they make them all over here, the place. They're over there. If you look around, you can find one. So I looked down, and there was one. I reached down in that big pile of stones and picked up an arrowhead. And I knew it was an arrowhead. I still got it at the house. How did I know it was an arrowhead? Because I'm not stupid. You know, you can look out at the worlds and at the galaxies, and you can look at the incredible creation that God has done, and you can know somebody did this. This is no accident. This didn't just happen. Hey, you want to see what evolution produces? Go to the moon. That's what evolution does. Nothing. Doesn't do anything. You leave something all by itself, nothing happens. You got to do something. You got to have some intelligence. You got to have some effort and input and wisdom to come up with something like this. You've ever been amazed by what God does? You ought to just be sitting in wonder every single day at what God does and what God has done. And I mean, it's amazing. The pictures that they're taking by that Hubble telescope out there and there's far reaches of heaven, and you see all these things that are going on out there, and then they do all the math and they come up with their cosmological constants and coming up with stuff and trying to figure out how this happened. And you know what they know? They know it's not likely. They know this is not a probable universe. That's why they come up with parallel universes. They think there were billions and billions and billions of parallel universes out there, and we are on the lucky one. All the other universes are barren and sterile and have nothing going on, even though we've never seen another universe. Come on, folks. Doesn't your mind tell you, I'm amazed? Amen. Have you never seen a freshly fallen snow and your breath is taken away, and you say, wow, God, you are amazing. That's never happened to you? Have you never said, God, you're amazing? I'm just amazed. Hey, you know, we ought to live in a constant state of amazement. We ought to just wander around this world looking at things in amazement. I got a kick out of my mother-in-law come over and visit us the other day, and there's a bunch of weeds over there underneath my trees. And she says, oh, she goes and picks out this weed. It was a flower. She says, the flower looks like a face. And it does. It's a weed. That's why I have Roundup. I kill them. I don't want that junk, but it had a flower. You got to be amazed by our Lord. You got to be amazed by our Creator God. The fact that He can just come up. You know, where did He come up with this? Where did He come up with the sexual division? Where does that come from? He wants to teach us something. He wants to show us something. He wants to create something much more amazing. It's amazing to me every time I think about it. I think about how God did this. It's just beyond measure. It's something that you cannot express with your words. You ought to feel amazed. And I know you can know all this, and I can tell most of you know this. Most of you have enough common sense to know we are not an accident. Most of you have that kind of common sense. Some of you probably don't, but most of you have that kind of common sense to say, okay, I know I'm not an accident. And you can put the calculator to it, and you can figure it out, and you can know this did not just happen. This did not just happen. But knowing that's not the same thing as feeling it. And you ought to feel it. It ought to be so deep in you that it changes the way you think. It changes the way you wake up in the morning. It ought to be so clear to you that God has done something here and is doing something here and has promised to do something more. He is doing something, and it ought to amaze you. What Solomon says is, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. What God's doing is amazing. Do you feel it? Can you say, I know it is. I know it is. I can feel it. It ought to change your mind. It ought to change how you get up in the morning. It ought to change how you talk to your friends. It ought to change how you live your life and how you work at work. It ought to change how you treat your wife. It ought to change how you raise your children. It ought to change the attitude you have when you come into church. Because you sense it. You say, God is amazing. You ought to say that more often.
Amen.
You ought to say, God is amazing. More often. And when somebody asks you how you're doing, you ought to say, I'm blessed. Or you ought to say, I'm amazed. Or you might even say, I am out of breath. I am stunned by God. I'm astonished by His greatness. We don't say it enough, folks. There's a lot of people who don't even know you're a Christian.
Amen.
There are people at the store don't know you believe in God. They might guess you do, but there's people that don't know. And the reason why? You don't feel it.
Yeah. Amen.
You're not feeling it. You wake up in the morning and you're not feeling it. And you start complaining about
Amen. That
person at work.
Yeah.
You stop feeling it. What happened? I'm telling you, you ought to feel this. This is something that ought to get under your skin. It ought to make you tremble. It ought to make you excited. It ought to make you enthusiastic. It ought to make you, light a fire under you and get you moving and make you shake and make you tremble and make you sing better than you do. It ought to do something to you. Our God is amazing. Have you considered what He's done? Have you considered all the different kinds of plants and animals that He did? Don't give me this that it just happened. No, He did it. He did it. He did that. Have you considered His tremendous spiritual works that He's done? You don't even realize it. You don't even realize that God gives us the Bible and then tells us to teach our children how to read it. And it creates a desire for universal literacy, and it turns this world into an amazing, productive machine because God says you start training that mind from the time they're small. God did that, folks. Come on. The reason why the world right now emphasizes universal literacy is because of the Bible and nothing else. That's the reason why. And you know why we have printing presses? Because of the Bible. You know why they developed hydraulic presses to make paper? Because of the Bible. You know why they have books? You know why you can buy books folded up like this, nice and easy to read? Easy to shift their pages? Because of the Bible.
Thank you, Lord.
It was the Bible that did that. Codexes, it's what they called. People had to have a huge amount of literature in their hands. They wanted the whole Bible. The only way to do that? We got to come up with a better system than this unroll, this leather stuff. It's not working. So they came up with something better. Why? Because of the Bible. God did that. You don't even have a clue how important that was to your life right now. Do you know why you have political freedom? And not everybody does, but you do. Do you want to know why? Because of God. God did that. Oh, yeah. You know why there is such a thing as a free market economy? Because of God, folks. God did that. That wasn't the idea of some really wise rationalist back in the day. No, this was God did that. God is what set up He established this type of a society that required the ability to borrow and loan and do all of these things. This all came from the influence of the Bible on society. You can read about it. It happened in the Middle Ages, it's true, and it was developed more and more, and as it has gone on, do you realize what God has done for you? Do you realize why we have liberty, freedom of conscience, and freedom of religion, and freedom of speech? Do you know where that stuff comes from? Not ancient China, folks. That's not where it came from, sorry. It didn't come from the Tahitian Islands. It came from the Bible. It came from God's Word. It came from God telling people, preach this and preach that, and go tell them this and go tell them that. You know why we talk about human rights? You know where that comes from? Human rights. Do you know where that comes from? It comes from that word over there in Genesis chapter 1. He says He created man in His image. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't come from Islam, people. It doesn't come from Buddhism. No. And you want to know what we've got, what we get from communism? Nothing. We got nothing from communism. Just murder. Jail. That's what we get from communism. What are you going to get from Islam? Mohammedism? What are you going to get from that? Violence. Anger. Hatred. That's all you can get. But you know what God gave you? He gave you a tremendous life and freedom. And you know what I'm amazed at? Is that people don't feel it. Young people right now are being taught that it's just natural. It's just normal stuff. This is natural human philosophy. It's the way people think. But people don't think that way anywhere else. And people have never thought that way throughout history. People have never thought about freedom and never thought about, they've never granted that to anyone else. You know where abolition of slavery comes from? The Bible. It comes from the Bible. Because God says we're all created equal. Created by God in God's image. He says He made us all of one blood. that we might seek Him wherever we are. And that's why God says, you go and you preach it to every single creature. I don't care what religion, what race, what ethnic minority they are. God doesn't care. God knows who we are. God knows us all. I'm telling you, this came from the Bible. It came from God. It doesn't come from anywhere else. Have you not become amazed by God yet? Have you not ever gotten to the point where you are just trembling in astonishment at the greatness and goodness and wonder of our God, the God that made us, the God that gave us all of this that we have? There are so many things you are enjoying right now. Now, I know, I hear atheists tell me, well, we're good people too. That's called cut flower ethics. You know why they call it cut flower ethics? Because it's still a flower, but it's been cut off from its roots. So yeah, they're good. But if you think atheism makes people good, well, you got another thing coming. And it's coming. It's coming down the pike, folks. It's happening. It's happening over there in Europe, and it's happening right here. And it's going to happen wherever atheism goes. Just go to communist China and see what ethics does for you. Ethics whose foundation has been cut off. Because if you don't believe in God, and you don't believe the Bible, and you don't believe there's anything coming after this life, and if you don't believe we have something that we're accountable for, and if you don't believe in a judgment after death, and if you don't believe you owe God something, you've got no reason to be good to your neighbor. You've got no reason to do the right thing when it costs you. You've got no reason to. And the moment you don't have a reason to, and your neighbor doesn't have a reason to, it's going to all descend into hell on earth. And it has. All over the world, it has done that. It has done that. This century, atheism has killed more people than any other philosophy. Atheism doesn't work, folks. Never has worked. It certainly doesn't work at funerals. What does an atheist say? Well, I'm glad Grandma's gone back to... What? What does an atheist say? What does an atheist tell his children? Nothing. That's why atheism is the number one worst philosophy for child retention. Retention meaning children of atheists remaining atheists. Less than 30%. Think about that, folks. Think about it. Almost every religion has a much better retention rate. Much better. The reason why is because they've got nothing. They have got nothing to offer anybody. You ought to be amazed by God. And you ought to not be ashamed of your amazement at God. It ought to come out. You ought to feel it all the way down in your soul. You ought to feel amazed by God every single day. And it ought to open up your mouth in praise to Him wherever you are in all aspects of life. And it ought to stop your complaining a little bit. It ought to stop your whining. It ought to stop you demanding things of other people. And it should take away all that desire for vengeance you've got. And all that retribution you've got. And all the anger and the hatred and all the, I was treated wrong when I was blah, blah, blah. You ought to have a change in your attitude because you're amazed by God. Come on, man. Let's get amazed by God. You've considered what God has done. Have you considered what He's promising to do? Have you considered the promises in the Bible that He has for people who love Him? That's what the word predestination means. Right there in the Bible. Predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. God's got plans. He has got tremendous promises that He's made in there. And that's why He says, in My Father's house are many mansions, and I go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Have you considered what God is planning to do? Not just know it, Christian. Feel it. Believe it. Get it into your soul. You're living the wrong way. You're living for nothing. Everything that God does, He does, and it's forever. What God does is permanent. But that's a good reason you ought to feel humble. It's a good reason you ought to feel fear. Because if you live your life displeasing to God, and you finalize out your life in enmity with God, or disregarding God, or God is just your go-to God when you're in trouble. If that's the way you treat God and He comes out displeased with you, It'll be forever. You ought to feel that. You feeling that? You see, because what God does is forever. God's not like us. You know, we think in terms of long term and short term. And one of the problems with the politics in this country is everybody's thinking short term. Very few people are thinking long term. Even the ones that are supposedly thinking long term, they're thinking 10 years, 20 years. There are not very many people thinking long term. There are not too many people thinking of what's truly the right thing to do. Most of them are thinking short term. I get it. I understand. Short term has some value. Sure, you know, let's raise the minimum wage. That might be something really popular among some of you because you make minimum wage. So, well, let's raise it. I could use a raise. But what about long term? Does that solve any problems? No, it doesn't. It doesn't solve any problems. It doesn't really fix anything. Everybody's talking about short term. Politicians are offering you something now. Vote for me and I'll write you a check. It happens all the time. They're saying that exact same thing all the time. Vote for me and I'll make sure you get this and this and this and this. Have you ever wondered what God thinks about all that stuff? Because he doesn't think short term, long term. He doesn't think in term. For him, he's forever. Time isn't a restraint for him. It's not any kind of a hindrance for him. He doesn't think in terms of law. He thinks in terms of forever. Do you ever think in terms of forever? Forever. Not short term, long term. It's interesting to me how our lives, we are so fooled by this life into thinking we want to get the maximum we can out of this life. And that's one thing that churches nowadays, at least in the United States, have really failed at. And that is, they're not emphasizing the forever. They're emphasizing the right now. They want you to get the most you can out of this life. And even the gospel that they preach is about getting the most you can out of this. God will give you purpose in your life. When you really ought to be worried about forgiveness of sins and getting eternal life, you know, you can get an awful lot of purpose in your life and then die and go to hell. What good would that do? You got all kinds of purpose. You're going to help out the poor. You're going to, you know, be a better person. You're going to be a better parent. You're going to be a better husband. All that stuff's good, but it's not forever. It's not what your life is really about. You ought to be not only amazed by God, you ought to be humbled by Him. Has it ever crossed your mind that you can't do much neither to hinder Him nor to help Him?
Amen.
There's just not much you can do.
Amen.
You can't fight God. Do you think there is some value in being brave and resisting God? God, strike me down with lightning. Bob, that's not brave. That's just stupid. You ought to be humbled by God. Who do you think you are? Have you ever noticed that people resist God's will? Something that God, very clearly, He knows it's His will. And yet people resist it. Why do people resist His will? If you know it's God's will. If you know it's God's will, why would you resist it? For something around now? Something, some immediate gratification? Sin has a pleasure for a season. Just for a season. And God is saying, hey, I'm living forever. I'm going to be around forever. When the hills are old and gone and melt away, I'm still going to be here. When the earth gets old and the heaven is wrapped up like a scroll, God's still going to be there. You know what your connection is? Just Him. That's all there is. There's nothing else. If He stops living, you stop living. If anything happens to Him or His connection to you, you're a goner. You can't make it. You can't live. You ought to be humble. You ought to be afraid. You ought to be afraid to go against His will. You ought to tremble to be out of His pleasure. To be out of the center of His will. That ought to scare you. And why? Because you feel it. You feel that fear of God. And you know, a whole lot of people don't fear it. They know it. They can even quote the verses. I know Christians who can quote the verses, but you can tell they don't feel it. They do not feel fear of God. They indulge in His mercy. They assume that He will forgive. Those are called presumptuous sins, by the way. You ought to hate those things. You ought to be afraid of those. You know what Jesus quoted to the devil when the devil said, just cast yourself off the temple. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. What are you doing challenging God to punish you? You know what you're doing? You're challenging God to punish you? You're saying, I'm gonna do it. You ought to be afraid of God. You ought to fear God because of who He is. Everything God does is forever. It's so much more superior than anything we do. You can't help Him. You can't hinder Him. You can't even give Him good counsel. You've never had a really good idea in your life. Probably. Most of all, your good ideas, somebody else thought first, and you just copy them. Amen. Come on, man. You ought to be humble. You ought to feel humbled by God. You ought to feel humbled by this life that God has given you. You ought to feel afraid of God's displeasure. You ought to feel afraid of offending Him in any way. But you don't. What's going on? Why? Why don't you feel the wonder of God, and why don't you feel afraid of God? Why hasn't it changed your way of living and your way of talking and your way of thinking? Solomon says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Have you stopped and think about forever? You're going to die, you know. You don't need a lot of faith to know that. You are going to die. And when you die, all of this temporary, I mean, it's like, I can understand when you have a child, you have a 10-year-old child that gets struck with some disease, I can understand you spending everything you have and going completely broke and bankrupt and borrowing everything you can do to try to solve that child's problem. I would do it. You would do it. I have done it. I've borrowed and pulled together and paid the price, whatever it was, just to solve a problem with one of my children. Of course, they're young. We want to give them everything we can give them. But can you imagine having that attitude with hospice? Hospice, folks. It's just trying to make people comfortable before they die. And that's a great, great service. It's a wonderful thing. And do it. Do it. Use it. Do it. But seriously? Seriously? Hospice? But that's what you're doing every single day of your life. Because your life is just withering away. It's going in front of your eyes. It's fleeting. It's like a vapor that appears for a time and then vanishes away. That's what the Bible says. Your life is just a vapor. It's just for a moment. And yet you spend all of your waking moments thinking about how you can make a little bit more fun in this life. Have a little bit better life. Maybe a little better car, like the brother mentioned this morning. Drives the car off the lot and then notices the other grill. Oh, that's the new one. You know, you get it. You've been there. But that's how you live your life. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. You ought to start thinking about forever. And you ought to start making some decisions about forever. And a whole lot of the time and effort that you spend in your life, this life, ought to be considering forever. Because forever is forever. And this life is very fleeting. Have you ever wondered why God allows people to suffer so much in this life? And folks, I haven't. I haven't suffered much in this life. I'm healthy. I've got all kinds of things. My children are healthy. God has blessed me wonderfully. I haven't suffered much, but I have considered and with empathy thought about all those people over in Syria who now have no home. And how many of them were killed and tortured and beheaded and burned alive. And how many of them before that were poor and ostracized and discriminated against and treated like dirt or worse. I just talked to a fellow from China just recently, and I asked him if he was a Christian. He said, no, I'm a communist. And I think about all those communists in China and how they suffer and how they go through it. And then when somebody becomes a Christian there, how they suffer, how they lose their job, how they're ostracized from their family. And God allows it to happen. Has it ever crossed your mind that God allows all that stuff to happen because He knows it's just for a moment? He can see. Because He's up there on top of the cloud. He's looking at it all and He says, it's just a moment. And He says, our moment of suffering right here, our simple moment worketh for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. And it's a forever thing. It's a forever thinking. And you are worried about fairness in this life. I know it's true because I have. And I think, God, that's not right. How can I have such a good life and these other people suffer? And He says, you don't get it, Bill. That's just a moment. It's just a moment. Have you stopped to think about forever? All right. Why we ought to feel wonder, why we ought to feel afraid, and why we ought to feel special. There it is. It's right there. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it. Why? That men should fear before Him. Has it ever crossed your mind why God does any of this at all? It's for you. He is trying to impact you. He's trying to affect your thinking. He's trying to affect your attitude. Has it ever crossed your mind that God is doing all kinds of things for you? He's trying to wake you up. Why did God make that flower that looks like a face? For Fran. That's why He did it. He wanted Fran to be amazed. And you know when she was amazed, and she said, look at this, look at this. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to kill those things. You can have them all. But God was pleased. He says, I impressed Fran. I didn't impress Bill, but I impressed Fran. Fran got a kick out of that one. That's what God's doing for you. He's trying to wake you up. He's actually done all of this so He can get people to say, wow, God, I'm pretty impressed. I'm pretty amazed. And yet, there you are, dull as you can be. You can't see the flower for all the weeds. Yeah, you know it. You know I'm telling you the truth. You know you haven't seen the flowers because of all the weeds. You haven't been paying attention to what God has done, the wonder. You haven't been touched by His amazement. You have not been touched by His power. You have not felt the fear of displeasing Him. You haven't felt any of this stuff. It's just because you're dull of hearing and dull of thinking. And you just got so many other distractions on your mind. And you're worried about how you're going to make your car payment or your house payment or how you're going to get a promotion in your job. Or maybe you're worried about some sickness or something, some problem. You got a tooth that's hurting or I don't know, but whatever it is distracts you and you say, I'm not impressed with God. Not today, I wasn't yesterday either. That's your attitude. Amen. Not impressed with God today. Driving to work in the traffic and they're treating you like dirt. Not impressed with God today, are you? Amen. Not if somebody's going to treat me like dirt, I'm not impressed with God. Not if somebody's going to take advantage of me, no. No, no, no. Not if I've got something else I want, something that might last me 20 years, no. I'm not impressed with God. And God does all of this just to try to wake you up and say, have you not looked at what I've done? Have you not considered the redemption that I brought about in Jesus Christ? How I sent my Son? And you would not have even known what kind of sacrifice I had made if I hadn't given you children. I gave you children so you'd know what kind of sacrifice I'm making. I gave you marriage so that you'd understand how much I love you. I gave you all kinds of things to try to teach you something, to try to wake you up, to try to make you amazed. I do it all for you. God's doing this for you. What? It seems to me like He'd be doing it for angels. Can you imagine Him up there in heaven saying, hey, 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 angels, come here, look at this, look down there. Doesn't say He does that at all. He probably does do that. I don't know. I think God is just very happy with what He does. I think He has a tremendous amount of self-esteem. He says, look what I've done. And I can imagine Him, the angel saying, wow, that is amazing. He did say that to Satan one time. He said, have you seen my servant Job? He's pointing out some stuff, right? Have you ever thought that you might be one of God's showcases? Him saying, have you noticed these folks right here? I don't know. But you know what it says right here? He does it that men would fear before Him. He does it because He wants to wake you up out of your dull, drug-induced sleep. He wants to wake you up out of your sedation. He wants to wake you up out of this stupid, deceitful world and say, hey, look what I'm doing. Look at eternity. Look at forever. Look at the Bible. Look at the things that I've done. Look at true righteousness. Yeah, true righteousness, not false religious hypocrisy, but true righteousness that comes from the heart. It springs forth like an artesian well right out of the heart. It's my spirit flowing out, and people are giving their lives to serve me. Look at what I've done, God says. So you'll wake up, so you'll say, God, you're amazing. I'm going to give my life for you. That's what he's doing. That is why he's doing it. Don't you feel special? You know what it is? You've been deceived by this stupid evolutionary philosophy where you think you are just an accident of nature, one out of a million glorified snails or monkeys that fell out of the tree and lost their tail. That's what you think you are? No. The Bible says he formed you in the womb. He formed you before ever I was. Before any of my members were perfected, you formed me in the womb. You gave me life. And Paul says he separated me from my mother's womb. It was God's good pleasure to give Paul life. And then he appeared to Paul and says, I've chosen you for this reason. I've even prepared you over all these years. I've got you set up for this. Do you want this? Would you like this? And Paul says, I want it. I want it. And that's what he's doing to you too. He said, hey, you! I'm talking to you. I've done all this for you. I gave you life. I gave you the Bible. I gave you political liberty. I gave you freedom. I gave you economic prosperity. I gave you all of this. And to boot, I give you rain in its season. And I give you sunshine. And I give you good harvest. And I give you understanding. And then I give you preachers. And I give you Sunday school teachers. And I give you parents to teach in the morning. And I give you all of these. And if that wasn't enough, I open up my ear and you just ask me and I'll give you whatever else you need. Just talk to me and all I want to do is impress you. Do you feel special? You ought to feel special. He did it for you. He did it for me. Why is he doing this? He loves you. He cares about you. He sent Jesus Christ and Jesus says, I didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. I came to call not righteous people. I came to call sinners to repentance. He did that for you. Why did he die on the cross? For you. Not for his own benefit. For sinners. Wow, this is an amazing thing. Are you amazed? Don't you feel amazed? Don't you feel moved by God? All that he's done? Don't you feel special that God says, I'm taking these are mine. And I'm going to do something special with them. I'm going to give them eternal life, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. They shall never perish. And I'm telling you something. I'm going to raise them up at the last day. And then I'm going to confess their name before my Father in heaven. And I don't care who stands against me. Not the future, not the past, not man, not something in heaven, not something on earth. Nobody's going to be able to separate us from the love of God. I'm doing it all so they'll be impressed. It's amazing what men will do to impress their wives. It's pretty amazing what God has done to impress you. That's the reason he did it, folks. I'm not making that up. He said it. God doeth it that men may fear before him. He's trying to wake you up. Are you sufficiently awake? Are you feeling God's amazement? Are you feeling God's wonder? Are you feeling the movement of God in your spirit telling you, look at me. Give your life to me. What are you holding on? Why are you resisting me? Give your life to me. Stop living for yourself. Come up with something better out of your life. Seriously, God says, I did all this to wake you up. And if you don't get woke up, it's going to be forever. That'll be your eternity. You don't give your life to God, it'll be forever. You choose right now, say, no, I'm not interested. God will say, that's it. That's why you ought to fear before me. It's over. You don't want me. You had your chance. That is what God is saying to you this morning. Don't put it off. Let's stand and let's sing number 394. You got something you want to get right with God, you go ahead. If you're not saved and you would like to know how to be saved or you want to talk to me, I'm here. Be more than happy to talk to you. Sunday school teacher this morning, the person that led the hymns, whatever, we'll be glad to talk to you. Just come and talk to us. Sing it out.
To Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust You in His presence daily.